our scripture reading today comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Now, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." May God add a blessing to the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. It is good to be here today in this wonderful trial for our modern service. But the question that we have today from our scripture is, why can't I experience a calling like this? Why can't God come to me and say these very words? That was the question asked at our Monday morning Bible study when we went over these texts. Why can't God talk to me in this way? And we read about these experiences in our Bible and we get, I think, a little jealous that we aren't being called by God to do great and miraculous things. So, does God not value me? Does God not have time for little old me? Where is God? What if I told you that these experiences are available to anyone and everyone all of the time? Why do I say that? Because God is around you all of the time, in everything and in everyone. Everyone you encounter has a little bit of God in them that you can experience. You know, we want to be called by God. We want to encounter the divine. But for some reason, we want an encounter that we've already mapped out in our head. Like, I want God to do this for me, and that's an official calling. People might say, I want to encounter God like the people in the Bible did. Well, Jeremiah was touched on the mouth by God. Yeah, I want that. That sounds pretty good. Isaiah had vivid dreams with multi-limbed creatures that sang songs about God. Yes, that sounds good. Give me one of those also. Moses saw a burning bush. Yeah, let's do that as well. Burning bush sounds good. Mary and Joseph separately were visited by angels. That sounds great. Let's do that. Paul was blinded and yelled at. I mean, that's something. I don't know that I want to go through that, but, you know. Do you see that there is not a biblical blueprint for being called by God? But every single one of these call stories that I mentioned, and so many more in our Bible, involve God meeting people right where they are. But if you're only looking for a specific type of call, then you can and will be disappointed. But if you reorient your thoughts to being open to different encounters with the holy, then hold on, because that is exactly what you will get. But it takes the ability to look at your life, the world, your faith from a different perspective. I had a chance to do such a thing, not with faith, but with something else. A couple months ago, my youngest brother Josh called me and asked if I wanted to play a couple softball games with him and his team, because they were going to have to forfeit if they didn't have another person. And so, you know, I have a certain understanding of what softball means to me. Last time I played was in Siegelville. So it was cutthroat. It was bad. It was, you know, people were yelling at me all the time. You had to bring your A game or your teammates were mad at you. If you messed up, your team let you know about it. If you didn't try your hardest, then you were made to feel like you weren't even a part of the team. So I had this mindset in softball when Josh calls me. And I go, "Josh, I'm not any good. All right, I'd hurt the team way more than I would help." And Josh goes, "Come on, it'll be fun." So I went out there, and I probably apologized to the teammates about 200 times. Because, I mean, even from the start, I forgot my glove. I left my glove at home. So I was like, "I'm sorry, but I don't have my glove, and can I borrow a glove from someone?" And they go, "Sure, here you go." And the first time I got up to bat, I grounded out to the shortstop, and I came back, I go, I'm so sorry that I grounded out, right? And I was supposed to be on deck at one point. You're supposed to have somebody on deck, or it's an out. Somebody yells, who's on deck? I go, that's me, I'm sorry, you know. So I'm saying sorry constantly, right? Finally, one of the guys on the team came up to me and said, listen, man, we just like you being here, okay? If you weren't here, we would lose automatically. So you being here helps us play. Quit apologizing. Glad you're here. And, you know, after he said that, I was able to see the game from a little different perspective, right? It was freeing and it was fun to be out there. And so this is what I'm thinking. This is the last inning that we have, and we've got to secure this. We're only up by a couple runs. So I'm playing second base, right? And I'm thinking, isn't it wonderful that everyone loves me? Ha ha, whatever. So, and they didn't hit the ball to me very much. I was on second, and there was a runner on first. And so it was hit to my right. And so in my mind, I was going to glide like a gazelle over here, pick up the ball, flip it to the shortstop. He'll fire it down to first, double play. We end the inning. And so it gets hit to my right. And I'm like, oh, this is it. And on the second shift, I crossed my legs up. And most people dive to stretch out to get the ball. I was getting the ball and falling down, right? And then I, like, crawl a little bit, and I flipped the ball up to the guy, and he got the force out, but we didn't get the double play. And I hopped up, and I was going to apologize. I go, I'm so sorry. And everyone is laughing, by the way. But they're laughing with me, not at me, right? It was great. And so after that inning, I mean, I had everybody coming over, pat me on the back, going, man, way to lay yourself out. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I was trying to do. I mean, I had this preconceived notion about how softball works, but when I opened myself up to new possibilities, then I enjoyed it so much more. So what I'm saying, though, is that God calls you through so many different venues. But if you're not open to them or paying attention to them, you will miss out on your calling from God. And God can call you through so many different ways. God can call you through different people, through nature, through memories you have, through stories, through questions, through quietness. God has called people through quietness, activities, chance encounters with people, binge watching Netflix, whatever it is, God can call you through those activities. God can and does use any medium necessary to call you to action and fulfill what God has in store for you from before you were born. But you have to be willing to see it. So is just this some cop-out saying, oh, well, you are just saying that God doesn't act like he does in the Bible, right? No, it's a realization that we do not own the definition of a call from God. God will do what God will do. And now, folks, now more than ever, we need to hear God's call on our lives. We keep finding new lows. I keep finding new lows. When I survey where we are as a culture and where we are as a country, the awfulness that is contained in it makes me so sad. People are looking for escapes in so many different ways, most of them destructive. But as people of faith, we are called to partner with God to make a difference in this broken, hurting world. That is our calling, to partner with the Almighty, to use what God gave us and bring about the kingdom of God by leaning into your call or living your call. And who is called to this work? Once again, every single person is called to this work. I want to be clear about this point. Everyone in this room has been called by God and will be called by God and is currently being called by God to bring about love and justice and mercy and grace. But what does that call look like? It starts by recognizing what God has put in front of you. So let me tell you a little story about what happened this past week for me. You know, it was the first week of school for many of our students. Remember last week we had so many students up here. We blessed the backpacks. It was awesome. We got to see all the first day of school pics on Facebook. It was great to see everyone. So after that first day of school, I usually ask my daughters how it went, right? And I usually ask how their math class goes, right? Because some of you may or may not know, right, that I have my mathematics degree from the University of Arkansas. There's applause there. It's a mathematics degree. It's hard. Come on. God. But here's the deal. I've never really cared about who they had for math, because you know who their greatest instructor is going to be? X equals Bill Hemm, right? So, come on. So I asked my oldest daughter, Anna, who is a junior at Union, about her calculus class. She's in AP Calculus, right? So I asked how her calculus class went. And she said that her teacher's name is Ms. Peterson, she said her teacher had her students sign up for a little conference, just her and the student. No parents are involved or anything else. And so I said, why is she doing that? And Anna said, she wants to learn our stories. I go, you're telling me that it's not to evaluate, like, whether you're ready to take calculus or not? It's not a math readiness assessment? She goes, no, it's so she can learn where we are coming from and how to connect with us. And these conferences, they're not taking place during class time. She's not removing instruction. She is going, she's coming in early, she's staying late to simply carve out time to connect with these kids. It was wild. And so it fascinated me to no end. So I sent an email to her and I thanked her and just said, this is awesome. And oh, by the way, this is the direction of my sermon. So can I use you as a sermon example? And so she said, of course. And I actually gave her my phone number. I'd love to talk to you later on. And she said, great. But she also sent me the transcript of a speech that she gave to new Union teachers just a few weeks ago, right? And in this speech, it was wild, in this speech, she admits to early on not loving the goal of Union, which is 100% graduation, 100% college and career ready. Well, why would you not love that goal? Well, because some of the students became complacent with that goal. I'm not doing that assignment. What are you gonna do? Hail me? It's 100% graduation, remember? I mean, it goes against. And so she was trying to figure out, how do I do this? How do I live into this calling and be authentic to who God called me to be? It's extremely frustrating. She was looking for answers on how to do this. Then she hears a very familiar story to her, a story she's heard dozens and dozens of times. She heard about a shepherd, and that shepherd was entrusted with 100 sheep, and he loved every single one of those sheep. But one day, he counts 99 in the pen. And so he goes out to find that lost sheep. And when he does, so overjoyed he was, and he called his friends and family, and they celebrated. It was in that moment when she heard Jesus' parable that she's heard so many times. It was in that moment that she got a paradigm shift in her calling and who God is calling her to be. 99 is not good enough. I want the one who was lost as well. And so we actually talked on the phone, and so I asked her, I said, what's the result of creating intentional space to connect with these kids? Because again, it's not like she is throwing away instructional time to do this. She has so much material to get through to get these kids ready for the AP calculus test. And this AP test is no joke, folks. This is one of the hardest tests possible that I have ever had to see. You might be wondering what the math great expert Bill Hemm made on the AP test. Well, I don't have to tell you that. It's none of your business, all right? So mind your own business. So listen to this. She said that when she is able to have students for 2 years, because she teaches pre-calculus also, when she's able to have two students for 2 years in a row, the pass rate for AP tests is 100%. That's amazing, folks. Do you think she just teaches numbers better than the other ones do? No. The difference is she recognized her calling through a very familiar story that she's heard time and time again. So when I was talking to her on the phone, I said, I don't know where you go to church, but, you know, we'd love to have you this Sunday if you're up and around or whatever. What do you think she said? I'll be there. Miss Peterson is right over here listening to this. She's right. I'm going to wave at her. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. With her husband and their 3-year-old, and it's awesome. So I'm so glad that she is here with us today. You want to know what living into your calling looks like? Go talk to Miss Peterson, because she has figured this out. God is so much bigger than our understanding of God. God isn't some wish granter or fairy tale figure that makes you feel better at the wave of a divine hand. The reason that life is better with God is because we are making it better with God. We got to get out of this mindset of God is supposed to provide, and then we just sit back and take it all in and say thank you, right? God didn't come to Jeremiah and say, oh, by the way, Jeremiah, I'd like to bless you. That's it. That's all that I wanted to share with you, that I will be blessing with you. You're one of my favorites. No. God said, hey, Jeremiah, you know, I've known you before you were in your mother's womb, and I've got plans for you, big plans. And it involves us partnering together. Our life needs to be bigger than just us, bigger than our own desires. Our life needs to be about God's work. Because God claimed us for this before we were ever born. And if you feel unwilling or ill-prepared or inadequate, you are in very good company. Because most people from the Bible, when called, object on the basis that they are not worthy or able to carry out this call. But when they go forth and they step out in faith and they do it, when you live your calling out, it is an amazing life filled with God's presence. To become people of God, to become the people that God called us to be, which is disciples of Jesus the Christ, is to become really and truly human at last. The life that we find when we give up our life to follow God's call is, after all is said and done, the life most worth living. Praise be to God. Amen.